I find it interesting that when Hannah was praying for a son, she was very specific in a prayer, 1 Samuel chapter 2. She wanted a son so she could give him back to the Lord. And that's exactly what took place. She had a son and she gave him to the Lord. It was a time in which that she would wean him, and then after the weaning, God saw how she was faithful, and he blessed her with 5 children because of her faithfulness. It was young Samuel when he was asleep in Eli's home, in the house, if you will, in chapter 3, that I find very interesting. He's lying down, and on 3 occasions in the first 8 verses, Samuel thought that Eli was calling upon him. And as I was listening to this today, it caused me to smile because God called Samuel. He said, "Samuel." And he runs in there to Eli and he says, "Yes, Lord. I didn't call you. Go back to your room." Samuel. And he told him the same thing. And so the third time, he told him, "The Lord must be calling on you." And so he says something very interesting. In verse number 7, verse 6 and 7, "Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' So Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' And so Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" I was listening to that today, and of course it caused a smile on my face. And I said to myself, I would hope that if I was in that situation, that when the Lord called, I would say, "Your servant hears. What do you need? What would you have me to do?" So humbling. It was humbling because Eli told him, "Just tell the Lord that I'm your servant and I hear what you have to say." Drop down to verse 19. Samuel, he grew. The Lord was with him. He didn't allow any of God's words to fall to the ground, meaning that they were weighty to him. They meant something to him. They were valuable to him. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You know, God will reveal himself to us today the same way, by his word. What happens when people don't read the word of God? They don't know God. I want to encourage us as God's people, read God's word, apply it to your life. And the reason why is because we'll have respect for him. We'll have respect for others. The Lord was with Samuel. I was talking to the college students today. Look at 1 Samuel 18. In 1 Samuel 18, it's interesting in verse number 14. We looked at verse 5, verse 14, verse 15, and verse 30, and how David behaved himself wisely. And it demonstrates to us how David behaved himself more wisely, how his behavior demonstrated the one in whom he trusted. But I like this about David. In verse number 14, and David behaved wisely in all his ways. And who was with him, friends?
The Lord.
The Lord. It's the same with Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brethren, thrown in a pit, sold to Potiphar. In all of those occasions, we read something. God was with him. God was with him. And at times we just need to be reminded that God is with us. When no one else is with us, God is with us. Jesus on the cross, all forsook him. Not God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul would say that all men forsook me. But he said something, but the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me. God is with us. We need to be reminded of that. That if I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, God is with me. But we have to be like Samuel. We can't allow his word to fall to the ground. It has to have weight in our lives. It has to be that which governs our decisions, governs our thinking. In 1 John 5, in verse number 3, in 1 John 5, in verse number 3, John would say it like this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. How do I know I love God? How do I know that God is with me? How can I have assurance that I'm walking with God? I keep his commandments. I don't let them fall to the ground. I respect them. They govern everything about me. Even when I fall short, even when I sin against God or sin against man, what am I going to do? I'm going to make it right. 1 John 1, verse 9. I'm going to confess it. Have a problem with my brother? Matthew 18. I'm going to go to my brother. People ought to be able to see that we're keeping his commandments. Why? We love him. And notice the end of that passage. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not too much. God is not asking too much of us. And so, I want to end with this thought. Go back to 1 Samuel. Because as I was thinking about Samuel, I was listening to Samuel. It took about 4 hours to listen to all of Samuel. Samuel was so obedient to the Father, to God, that even in the midst of conflict, he did what God said. Saul, he offered a sacrifice, a burnt offering rather, and Samuel in 1 Samuel 13 confronted him. Samuel confronted Saul when he didn't utterly destroy the Amalekites in chapter 15. He confronted him. It's interesting that when it was time to anoint another king, it was Samuel that told Jesse, bring your sons. No, he's not it. He's not it. He's not it. But when he get to David, that's him. Anoint him. Here's my point. That God's people, God's man, if God is going to continue to be with him, us, must be willing to endure some conflict. We must be willing to confront ourselves, others. We must be willing to appoint the right people and not be afraid of hurting feelings at times. He could have easily, Raphael, said, okay, yeah, that's him because he's good looking. He's firstborn. No, he appointed the one that God told him to appoint. And so I want to encourage us to behave ourselves wisely this week. To be willing to confront yourself, to confront others. I ask that you pray for me because there is a preacher that I need to confront. I will confront him. It's right. And the reason why it's right, because he needs to be confronted. And so I say that to say this. Even myself have to give myself pep talks. Because it's easy to say, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. And so we don't want to be like Saul. We want to be like David. And that takes courage. And so I want to encourage all of us. Have respect for the word of God. Don't let it fall to the ground. Be willing to keep his commandments. Know that God is with you. Behave yourself wisely. God will be with you. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider being obedient to the gospel. Death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing. I know I keep saying it. I keep saying it. Some of y'all probably think, why is it so amazing? It's an amazing thing when a person can have their conscience cleansed from dead works that they can now serve God. That's amazing. But we live in a world today where coming before God is some mundane thing, but it's not. It's an amazing event to stand before God. That's amazing. The faithful in God will save you. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been behaving wisely. You've been allowing God's word to drop to the ground. You haven't been respectful. Let's just get that right as we stand.